See, I'd come up with an idea. Whether or not it was a good idea remained to be seen. It was the kind of idea a guy comes up with on the spur of the moment and on short notice. It was based on something Rip and Snort had revealed about themselves in their song. They were ignoramuses. With a cover of boldness that covered the terror in my deepest innards, I went striding into the clearing, took a stand in front of the brothers, and stopped them with a raised paw. Halt! They halted and stared at me with big puzzled eyeballs. Rip, Snort, we don't have much time, so listen carefully. That song you just sang released a cloud of deadly poisonous gas over this whole area. We've got to get you out of here before... I pointed towards the wilted weeds. Uh-oh, it's already begun to work. You see, the fauna and fluoride have begun to die. The weeds will be the first to go, followed minutes later by trees and bushes, followed minutes later by animals, birds, and fish. The brothers exchanged long glances. Guys, I gotta put the entire ranch under emergency poison alert, and I'm glad I found you before it was too late. I'm clearing out this whole section of the ranch immediately, at once. Snort scowled at me.
Coyote brothers not wanting cleared out to be.
I know, Snort, but this poison is like nothing we've ever encountered before. The brothers went into a whisper conference. I counted my heartbeats, hoping...
Rip and Snort just fixing to eat little owl, not wanting to leave good nourishment meal.
Holy smoke, Snort, that would be the worst thing you could do. That owl has soaked up all the deadly toxins. Eating her would be like eating a whole trainload of poison, train and all. Sudden death, that's what she is. They whispered some more. Then Snort gave the reply.
Coyote brothers not believe stupid dummy ranch dog. Brothers not scared of poison, cause brothers make poison with cannibal song. Ho ho!
And you think that makes you immune? He stared at me with his brutish yellow eyes.
Coyote not immune. Coyote a cannibal, and proudest of it to be.
I had to think fast. Snort, we don't have time to argue. If you want to discuss this further, you can do it with the Wolf Creek Volunteer Poison Squad. They'll be here any minute with men and trucks and gas masks. That opened their eyes.
People coming?
Oh yes, hundreds of them. In fact, I cocked my ear. Yes, I think I hear their trucks this very minute. They held another conference.
Rip and Snort still not believing dummy ranch dog. Not hearing trucks coming and not scared of poison.
It was looking bad. But just then, the wind rustled in the cottonwood tree above us. And you won't believe this. 5 or 6 dead leaves floated down between us. No doubt they had been scorched by the terrible heat, but the ignoramuses didn't know that. I pointed to the leaves. Uh-oh. You see? That tree just died from the poison, Snort, and with its last dying gasp, it has sent you a secret message. The brothers scowled.
What secret message?
Don't you get it? Come on, Snort, wake up! I came to warn you, and now the tree is warning you. It's telling you what to do. It's right here in front of your nose. I pointed my paw at one of the leaves on the ground. What is that?
Leave.
At first it didn't soak in, but then Snort's eyes popped open.
Leave?
Right, exactly. Noah, Lot, disaster, leave. They mumbled and muttered. Then?
Coyote know a lot, smell disaster, and leave like tree.
They began backing away. Then they turned and vanished into the brush. Just before they left, I heard Snort mutter,
that must be pretty strong music for sure.
Silence. They were gone. I almost fainted with relief. Then I heard Madam's voice behind me.
My goodness, unless my eyes deceive me, it's Hank the Rabbit.
We've been through this before, madam, and I don't have the energy to argue. Hank the Rabbit's okay with me. I feel like a rabbit right now.
And you've sent the ruffians packing. I'm so proud. My goodness, they were going to eat me.
I noticed. I also noticed that you were going to let them. What's the deal?
Well, as you can see, they bound me with a grapevine, pinning my wings to my sides. And how can I do a proper job of casting spells without my wings? It can't be done. The wing is the sting. Disable the wing, dispose of the sting. Speaking of which, do you suppose you can unbind me? As it is, I'm bound to be tied.
Well, I'll see what I can do. I began gnawing on the grapevine. Whilst I was doing this, Madam kept me entertained with her chatter, such as,
"You're tickling me. Stop that. No, don't stop that. Continue. Oh, ee-ah! I suppose you know you are gnawing on my ribcage, and I suppose you gnaw, knowing full well what you're doing. Now I know you gnaw, tra-la, tra-la, tra-la."
That was typical Madam Moonshine talk. She didn't always make sense, but she seemed to enjoy herself. At last, I cut her free. She smiled and flapped her wings.
"There! Thank you, and thank you. But how can I ever thank you enough? Thanks is such a paltry gift, but if I offered you a chicken instead, it would be a poultry gift. Hence, by following the logic of the moon and stars, we receive the knowledge that mere thanks is more thankful than a chicken."
I guess so. Whatever. She swiveled her head around and studied me with her big, owlish eyes.
"Do you suppose we can use that information, Hank the Rabbit?"
Cowdog, actually. Hank the Cowdog.
"Oh, rubbish. Cowdogness seems so boring and ordinary, but rabbitness has a way of keeping things hopping. And did I mention that you're spending the summer with me in my cave?"
Huh? Spending the... No, we haven't discussed that, yet, madam.
"Oh, piffle. I meant to tell you, but I was about to be eaten by cannibals, and it slipped my mind. And besides, you just got here. Come, let's retire to my cave, and we can discuss our summer plans."
She went hopping towards the bluffs on the other side of the creek. I followed, although I was beginning to feel a little uneasy about the summer business. When we came to the tree that was decorated by her bodyguard, Timothy the Turbo Windbag, she stopped.
"Timothy, you have been a naughty snake. How shameful and scandalous, allowing two ignoramus coyotes to tie you to a tree. I may be forced to review your employment record. It simply looks bad for a tree to be wearing my bodyguard. Come, Hank the Rabbit."
I followed her across the creek and to the bluffs. There she disappeared into a hole and I followed. I crawled through the darkness for 10 feet or so until it opened up into a kind of underground room. She stood beside a flat-topped rock in the middle, with tree roots hanging around her head. She was looking down at the flat top rock and I didn't know what she was doing. Muttering, I suppose.
"Go left, go right, stand up, sit down."
She glanced up at me and smiled.
"My troupe of performing fleas. Would you like to say hello to them?"
Not really. Fleas and I don't get along. That is, we'll get along fine as long as they stay over there. She clapped her wings together and turned her eyes on me.
"Well, we are safe from marauding coyotes, and 'twas foolish of you to enter my cave, O Rabbity Hank, because I just might not allow you to leave. But before I don't allow you to leave, tell me why you came."
"Well, madam, I have a small problem."
"Oh, good. A small problem is only half as large as a large one, so we needn't bother with it."
"Okay, I've got a large problem."
"Oh, dear."
She blinked her big moon eyes.
"What have you done?"
I started at the beginning and told her the whole story about the grasshopper, the root stimulator, the mop water, and the fight I'd picked with Billy's pet gorilla. See, I talked my way into a fight with one of the biggest, meanest dogs in Texas, and I don't know how to get out of it.
Yes, it's coming clear. If you don't fight, you're a coward. If you do fight, you're a hamburger.
Right, and I was hoping that you might be able to teach me some fighting tricks, you know, like karate or judo. She rolled her eyes towards the ceiling.
Karate or judo, curse-plotting menudo, we're plotting, but you know the answer is no.
Her eyes drifted down to me.
I know many things about many things. Little things about big things, and big things about little things. But I know no things about fighting. In my line of work, we don't fight. We use our minds.
Yeah, I saw you using your mind on those cannibals, and it almost got you eaten.
But I didn't need to use my mind. You used yours. One mind is enough, yours or mine, and I don't mind that it wasn't mine. The result was the same.
We got lucky, madam. That was pure D, dumb, blind hog luck. And I just as soon have something more substantial when I go into battle with Rufus.
Rufus, an interesting name. Does he say roof, roof?
That's probably the nicest thing he says. She raised a wing and began stroking some of the tree roots above her.
Rufus, root stimulator. I am stimulating the roots on the roof of my cave. May I think about this?
Sure, go ahead.
Yes, we have the entire summer, don't we?
Well, I... To be honest, madam, I really...
Hush! Silence!
She closed her eyes and went into a thinking spell. I could only hope that it was a good one.